Part 4. Delayed Exits from Chapter 11. Julian Lopez Toledo reports about three Chapter 11 debtors whose emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. Quigley, Flintcoat, and W.R. Grace. Quigley Company is now seeking federal court approval of its Chapter 11 plan, already confirmed by a bankruptcy judge in New York. Judge Stuart M. Bernstein in June overruled objections from a group of personal injury plaintiffs who said the Chapter 11 plan was the latest in a long line of, quote, afflicted strategies devised by Pfizer to shield itself from asbestos liabilities. Quigley's Chapter 11 plan calls for Pfizer to contribute an additional $964 million worth of cash, insurance, and other assets to fund a trust that will pay asbestos personal injury claims. Decades ago, Pfizer's Quigley unit made industrial products that use the toxic material, which causes cancer and lung disease and makes injuries slow to manifest. Along with its parent, Quigley was targeted with hundreds of thousands of injury claims, seeking more than $1 billion in damages. Estimates during the bankruptcy put the potential liability for future damage claims at more than $4 billion. If the plan is put into effect, those liabilities will be channeled to a trust and away from Pfizer and Quigley. Judge Bernstein, who rejected an earlier version of the Quigley plan in part due to settlements that swayed plan voting results, confirmed Quigley's Chapter 11 plan at a hearing June 26th in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Manhattan. Because Quigley's Chapter 11 plan resolves personal injury claims, it must be approved by a federal district judge as well. Quigley has started the process of getting a federal judge to sign off on the Chapter 11 plan, filing papers in the U.S. District Court in New York that say the sole objector to the plan, when it was considered by the bankruptcy court, has said it will not appeal. The confirmed plan boosts Pfizer's contribution to the trust and follows a separate $860 million settlement with asbestos claimants that had blocked the earlier plan. Quigley entered bankruptcy in 2004. The Honorable Mary F. Walrath of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware, at the behest of Flintcoat Company and Flintcoat Mines Limited, extended the debtors' exclusive periods to file a proposed Chapter 11 plan until November 30, 2013, and solicit acceptances for that plan until January 31, 2014, respectively. The Flintcoat entities have told the court that the plan proponents' cooperative efforts to confirm a consensual plan will be protected by extending the exclusive periods. Flintcoat related that on December 21, 2012, the court entered its memorandum opinion overruling objections to the amended joint plan of reorganization, confirming plan, and recommending the affirmation of confirmation and the so-called Section 524G injunction. On January 4, 2013, Imperial Tobacco Canada Limited and certain of its wholly owned subsidiaries, including Genstar Corporation, filed a notice of appeal from the confirmation opinion and the confirmation order. And the appeal is pending before the district court. A three-judge panel in the United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit on July 24, 2013, denied Garlock Sealing Technologies LLC's appeal from the Chapter 11 reorganization plan of W.R. Grace & Company. The Third Circuit affirmed a Delaware federal court decision upholding an earlier ruling by the bankruptcy court that Garlock lacked standing to block the reorganization plan, rejecting Garlock's contention that it would be injured by the plan. The Third Circuit explained that under the bankruptcy code, any, quote, party in interest, including the debtor, the trustee, a creditor's committee, an equity security holder's committee, a creditor, an equity security holder, or an indenture trustee, unquote, has standing to, quote, raise and be heard on any issue in a bankruptcy case. The list of parties in interest is not exclusive, and it, quote, has been construed to create a broad right of participation in Chapter 11 cases, that includes anyone who has a legally protected interest that could be affected by a bankruptcy proceeding. Nonetheless, Article 3, standing and standing under the bankruptcy code, are effectively coextensive. A party objecting to the confirmation of a plan for reorganization under Chapter 11 must therefore, quote, meet the requirements for standing that litigants in all federal cases face under Article 3 of the Constitution. Those requirements include that the party has suffered an injury, in fact. The Third Circuit further explained, although any, quote, specific identifiable trifle of injury will do, unquote. Article 3 requires that there be some, quote, invasion of a legally protected interest that is A, concrete and particularized, and B, actual or imminent, not conjectural or hypothetical. Garlock argues that it has suffered an injury, in fact, because it has rights to contribution and set-off that will be harmed by the joint plan. In other words, Garlock claims that the plan threatens to diminish contribution payments and set-off amounts it may receive from Grace in future cases. Garlock concedes, however, that there is no evidence that it has ever sought contribution or set-off in the past due to Grace's liability, and it does not assert that it has any current claims against Grace. Rather, it explains, that it resolved prior cases, quote, against the backdrop of those rights, making it unnecessary to actually assert contribution or set-off claims. The Third Circuit found that the explanation does not address the absence of any contribution and set-off claims arising from cases brought against Garlock after Grace entered bankruptcy. Once Grace filed for Chapter 11 protection, all actions against the company were subject to an automatic stay under Section 362 of the Bankruptcy Code. Therefore, between 2001 and 2010, plaintiffs with joint claims against Grace and Garlock were able to recover only from Garlock. Yet Garlock concedes that there is no evidence that it ever, quote, suffered a judgment for which Grace owes it contribution during Grace's bankruptcy. Garlock's alleged future injury can thus only be called speculative, and it fails to satisfy Article 3's requirements for standing, the Third Circuit ruled. In order for the joint plan to threaten Garlock's contribution and set-off rights, Garlock must have a basis for asserting those rights, the Third Circuit said. That there may be future plaintiffs with claims against both Grace and Garlock, which is by no means a certainty, does not by itself provide that foundation, as those claims must also produce verdicts or settlements that entitle Garlock to contribution or set-off, the Third Circuit added. Grace, which has been in bankruptcy protection for an astounding 12 years, has projected to complete its reorganization by the end of this year. It filed for Chapter 11 in April 2001. The Troubled Company Reporter provides detailed reporting about every Chapter 11 filing nationwide. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TCR at no cost or obligation. That concludes Part 4 of the report. The report concludes in Part 5.